Do you believe in magic?
Yes.
That is the topic of tonight, and no, it does not relate to a certain football team's chances and what could actually help today. Our topic is, does the Torah, does our belief system recognize the potential power of witchcraft, the authenticity of supernatural powers conducted by human beings? Why am I talking about that this week? And these parshios were introduced to some very wonderful characters and also some interesting nefarious characters. We talk about Paro's Chartumim, his magicians, sorcerers, call them whatever you want. They appear to be doing witchcraft. They are imitating the very miracles Hashem, to some extent, expects to convince Paro to let Bnei Yisrael go. There are people with their magical wands, maybe top hats and bunnies, who knows, who are able to recreate the same things to some extent for some of the Makos. So what does that mean? Do we believe in a power that magicians and sorcerers can actually conjure something up? Well, the Sefer HaChinuch discusses this, not here, no mitzvot yet, one more week to go, but the Sefer HaChinuch discusses this twice in mitzvot 62 and 511, in Parshios Mishpatim, and later at Parshas Shoftim, the prohibition for a person to engage in magic, that's in Shoftim, and in Mishpatim, the obligation for judges to capitally execute, that's a term, to put to death those who engage in sorcery. And the Sefer HaChinuch explains in those mitzvot, 62 and 511, what is so terrible about engaging in magic? Why is it so evil that aside from the prohibition of engaging in it, there's another command to eradicate such evildoers from the world? And the Sefer HaChinuch thinks that magic is real, that sorcery and kishuf are real, and that these people are combining forces in the world that are bringing about effects and results that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not want. The person is somewhat changing, going against the natural teva that Hashem designed to put into the world, and in that sense, they are deserving of death for messing up, mixing with the natural order of the world. The Sefer HaChinuch explains what he thinks kishuf actually was. To use layman's terminology, layman meaning for those of us who are not expert witchcrafts, including myself. So the idea is that there are certain forces that HaKadosh Baruch Hu put in charge of natural order, of rainflow and vegetation and about certain animals and all kinds of stuff. And Hashem appointed a certain angel or a certain power over each of these individual forces. So that a person who has the right terminology or the right access to certain buttons and levers will be able to pull these things. And not that Hashem is powerless, God forbid, whatever that means. But it means that a person actually has access to these tools. The person could reach up into the heavens or into the stars and be able to access through incantations or something else a certain button. And you press the button, you can cause it to rain. You can cause it to go dark early. You can cause animals to engage in a certain behavior. You can create new types of creatures that are not normally found by combining different buttons and different levers and opening the faucets in a way that produces results not naturally found. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has each force operating in the normal way, and a person who's tuned in enough to be able to open up these buttons and be able to open these doors is able to find a way to create new things. In this way, the Sefer HaChinuch describes the problem of kishuf like he describes shatnez and any other klayim, any other forbidden mixture. In isolation, it works as it's supposed to. Certain food, certain growth, certain animals, but when you combine, you crossbreed or cross-grow, or put certain foods together that don't belong together, individually sanctioned ideas, together are an abomination. There's something that's beyond what Hashem normally wanted. So kishuf, like shatnez, like klayim, is the mixing of different doors and levers and buttons in a way that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did not intend, going against the regular laws of nature, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not happy with that. You think about it in this way. It's not that person who engages in kishuf is overriding Hashem. The same way a person can pick up a bat or pick up a gun and do terrible things with those individual tools in a way not sanctioned by Hashem, a person can access the different buttons and levers of the universe, of time, of space, of animals, of weather, and a person can misuse them like a person can misuse any other force of nature. The Chinuch, like the Ramban before him, is clearly assuming magic is a real thing. A person has the ability to access certain things, like Paro's Chartumim, are able to recreate certain phenomena, water turning into blood or frogs coming out of nowhere, because they're pulling on certain buttons that are existing in the spheres. Who argues with the Sefer HaChinuch? The Rambam. Maimonides, the Rambam, in the 11th parak of Halachos of Avodah Zarah, talks about that all, aside from being forbidden, it's all smoke and mirrors. Don't get fooled by these things, the Rambam says. These things aren't real. There's no actual power to these sorcerers, to these witches. They're not actually able to make things disappear. They're not actually able to make things appear, to change forces of nature. It's all smoke and mirrors. Only a fool would be gullible enough, the Rambam says, to be sucked in and enticed by the silliness of such people. The Vilna Gaon, in his commentary to Yara Deah, Kuf Ayin Tes, takes very strong issue with this Rambam. He believes the Rambam was adversely impacted by a study of philosophy and rationalism. The Rambam doesn't believe in the stories in Chumash. The Rambam denies the ability for people we've seen in the course of Jewish and world history to engage in paranormal, to engage in supernatural. The Rambam, the Vilna Gaon, writes very strongly, appears to have been misled by all the academia, all the philosophy that he studied. So let's try to address that question with the couple minutes we have left. What would the Rambam say if the Rambam denies? If the Rambam denies that there's really a power to engage in such acts, to engage in Kishuv, then how do we explain the Chartumim? How do we explain Paro's officers, his magicians, who are able to create and copy and do some of those things? Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky in this week's Parsha has a beautiful idea, M.S. Liakov in Perek Zion. Yaakov Kamenetsky says that the Rambam might agree that at one point in history, the certain powers actually were accessible and people could engage in magic, but they're no longer accessible. Why would that be the case? M.S. Liakov writes that when a person considers the following, it makes sense. In order for us to have free will, there has to always be equal forces of good and evil, so a person is never swayed too much to do good or discouraged from doing good. At a time when we had open prophecy, when we had a Moshe Rabbeinu, when we had Ososu Mopsim from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there had to be access to equal forces of Tumah to allow a person to continue to doubt and not be forced to believe because, look, all the miracles are there. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu's revelation was more obvious, and there were more challenges to that by other forces that seemed obvious and supernatural and powerful as well. Certain Avodah Zarah seemed to work as well. And that's why there's a challenge, there's a Bechira, there's an opportunity for a person to doubt because there are different forces. And the days of Moshe Rabbeinu especially, when there was so much emphasis on miracles of Hashem, Ososu Mosim, signs and clear ways for Paro to know of Hashem, there had to also be ways for a person to doubt because look, the Chartum have powers too, the values of sorcery are also out there. But as time went on, the Emes Yaakov continues, especially during Bayis Sheni, when we lost prophecy, when we lost open miracles, when over time it became impossible for us to see Hashem as clearly, for many, many years we've lost access to this magical power as well. Now it would be the opposite lack of equilibrium, to have only magic, only those types of supernatural, without having access to Torah, sanctioned miracles, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's open revelation, in order to keep a sense of free will. And this is obviously the idea of HaKadosh Baruch Hu hardening Paro's heart. Like the Sforno says, like many others say, it wasn't taking away Paro's free will. It was giving Paro the strength and the stubbornness to look at the miracles and deny them because there were other forces in power as well. So do we believe in magic? Maybe.